In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Who will roll away the stone for us? It was the women who had stayed to the end, watching his awful death, looking on from a distance. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They had stayed with Jesus to the end. They had watched as Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and laid it in a tomb in the rock. They watched Joseph roll a large stone against the door of the tomb. And then they waited. One long night and day, and another long night. And then, at first light, on the third day, they come to the tomb with spices to honor Jesus, to anoint his body, as was the custom. But they know there is a problem. They are faithful, but they know they do not have everything they need. They know they are not strong enough to move the huge stone. So as they go on the way, they ask one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they reach the tomb, they stop in amazement. The stone is already moved, and the tomb is open. A young man dressed in white sits there alone and shares the astonishing news. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is alive and loose in the world. He has gone on to Galilee, as he had promised. Mary Magdalene, Mary, and Salome are the first to see and hear the empty tomb and the promise. The young man shows them the empty tomb and reminds them of God's promise. And then he gives them instructions. They, the women, are to be the first messengers of this good news. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. This good news is for everyone. For the disciples who had deserted him at the last. For Peter, who had just denied Jesus 3 times. Even Peter is to get this message of great joy. You will see him in Galilee, just as he promised. But the women are held by fear and awe, and they leave the empty tomb in silence. The Gospel of Mark, alone of the Gospels, leaves us with an unfinished story on Easter morning. It is a bit unsettling. We like our stories neat and tidy, don't we? All the loose ends tied up. And in fact, the folks who created the lectionary inserts couldn't bear to leave this gospel passage ending at verse 8, even though it says verse 8. Which is the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. You may have noticed that they added on a couple of extra verses. But I think it's important for us to stop at verse 8, because we know that there is a whole lot of living that has to go on between the fear and the silence and the new life in Christ. There has to be a transformation. So it's important for us to notice every 3 years when we get the Gospel of Mark's story of the resurrection that this gospel, the first gospel written, ends with the witnesses to the resurrection fleeing the tomb. They see the empty tomb, they hear the promise, and they leave in fear and keep silence. Mark tells us that terror and amazement had seized them. This new reality was both thrilling and terrifying. When the women get to the empty tomb and hear the promise of God, they know that everything has changed. And the question for them is no longer who will roll away the stone for us, but who will teach us how to live now in this new world? The women know that the stone that has to be moved now is not the stone at the entrance of the tomb, but the stone that blocks their understanding of this astounding new life into which they are called. They will have to learn this new resurrection life. They will have to learn to die with Christ in order to rise with him. And somehow they will do this. They will find the courage. They will be transformed by the risen Christ. George Herbert writes in his poem, Easter, "Rise, heart, thy Lord is risen. Sing his praise without delays, who takes thee by the hand, that thou with him mayst rise." Our hearts rise up today. We can lift up our hearts. We rejoice today, because we know the risen Christ, or we want to. And we know how the story continues into the world, through the other gospels, into the early church, through the ages, all the way into our time. But right now, it's too early for the women to rejoice. They are still held by fear and awe. The women who had followed Jesus and provided for him when he was in Galilee now begin to realize that much more is being asked of them. Following Jesus is not over. It is beginning again in a startling new way. They are left with an empty tomb and a promise. This future is open-ended. God's promise points them and us into the future. God's promise and our response to it create the future. The great 12th century mystic Hildegard of Bingen said that humans are intended by God to be co-creators with God. That is the startling reality, the astounding responsibility that faced the women on that resurrection morning. But really, we are not so different from the women at the tomb. This morning, we too are given an empty tomb and a promise. We too are given a commission. Go and seek the risen Christ. He is alive and loose in the world, just waiting for us to join him. We will find him everywhere we look, in our brothers and sisters, those who suffer and those who care for them, in the poor and the outcast, and those who feed and clothe them, those who are ill and those who minister with them. We will find him everywhere in our daily lives if we have the eyes to see. We will see how he is already at work in our lives and all around us, just waiting for us to join him. So go, be co-creators with God of a world that God dreams for us and all of creation. Rise, heart, thy Lord is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.